Hi, welcome to this week's audio podcast edition of Gay USA. I'm your announcer and associate producer, Bill Baldwin. This week's Gay USA was recorded in New York City on June 28th, 2017. We have lots to report on this week, as well as a roundup of gay pride around the world and around the U.S. and New York City. And did you know there were Supreme Court rulings that affect the LGBT community? Find out on this week's Gay USA. So now here's Ann Northrup and Andy Hum with this week's LGBT news. Enjoy.
And we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard. Welcome to Gay USA on the 48th anniversary of the Stonewall Rebellion. I'm Andy Hum.
Well, that's the day we're taping. It's not the day you're going to see it. I'm Ann Northrup.
Unless you're watching us online at www.gayusa.tv.org. GayUSA.tv, yes. All right.
Okay.
Let's focus on the news because we have lots of court decisions to talk about.
Yes.
Starting with the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court did uphold the right of married gay parents, but the three dissents do not bode well for the future.
Spoiler alert, Neil Gorsuch is a monster.
Yes, he is.
More about that shortly.
Yes, he is.
The High Court also chipped away at the separation of church and state and agreed to decide next term whether a baker can refuse to sell wedding cakes to gay couples. That may sound familiar to you. Yes, it's the Colorado case we've been following for years.
The High Court also temporarily and partially kept Trump's Muslim travel ban in place.
And a federal appeals court, a little lower down, let Mississippi's anti-LGBT law go into effect until someone gets harmed by it.
LGBT pride parades and marches drew throngs and controversy.
All over the country. But LGB only older people will now be included in a key U.S. government survey. We are still fighting for transgender inclusion in that survey.
A Catholic bishop has banned funerals for anyone in a same-sex marriage.
Does that mean we don't have to die? Germany may, even as you're watching this, have already opened marriage to same-sex couples.
It's on the agenda for Friday.
Yeah.
While the Republican repeal of the Affordable Care Act was stalled in the Congress this week, the Democratic leader of the California Assembly scuttled a single-payer health care bill.
That's not good.
No.
All right. Well, we're going to take you through a lot of what happened at various pride celebrations around the country, but there is so much news coming out of the Supreme Court and other courts that we really need to start with that because that is where the headlines
are. And the big case that was favorable to us was out of Arkansas, where the high court there said it was, okay to treat same-sex parents, married parents, differently from heterosexual married parents in terms of conferring parenthood rights on the spouse.
Well, this is the whole thing that is happening across the country. We've seen it in Texas. We've seen it throughout the South. We've seen it in various places where states are trying to hold the line, rebel against the Obergefell Supreme Court decision 2 years ago legalizing same-sex marriage.
Now, in Obergefell, the justices had written, and this was cited in this unsigned opinion that we won, as we explained, a state may not exclude same-sex couples from civil marriage on the same terms and conditions as opposite-sex couples, and it listed rights, benefits, and responsibilities to which same-sex couples, no less than opposite couples, must have access. So that was in the decision. But there were still, even though this was unsigned, there were three dissents to this decision.
Wait, so that was the Obergefell decision.
That's what they were citing in the Arkansas case.
So now the Arkansas as a state is trying to treat same-sex couples differently in terms, in this case, of birth certificates.
Right.
If a heterosexual couple uses, say, a sperm donor with the wife, nonetheless, the husband is the presumed father of the right. child and goes on the birth certificate yes. as the father.
This really all comes down to, the states where discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation is allowed are trying to keep doing that to same-sex married couples.
So in this case in Arkansas, two lesbian couples each had children. One of the women gave birth with a sperm donor and expected to have their wife's name on the birth certificate as the other parent. And the state said, no. We are not going to put the wife's, not just the partner, the wife's name on right. the birth certificate. So this went to the, and the Arkansas Supreme Court upheld the state's version
yes,
of events. So this went to the Supreme Court.
Let's read what the Arkansas Supreme Court said. It said, it does not violate equal protection to acknowledge basic biological truths.
Except that their law does not acknowledge basic biological truths. The law says in Arkansas that a husband will be acknowledged as the father of the child even if he is not the biological father of the child. And even more so, if in Arkansas a heterosexual couple adopts a child, the child's birth certificate will be changed to list the adoptive parents as the parents of the child.
Right. So the way the Arkansas Supreme Court was leaving it was that we would have to go through second parent adoptions,
right.
essentially, which
right.
is expensive and demeaning.
Well, it involves all sorts of home visits get approval.
But this does tip the hand of the Supreme Court to a great extent on how they're going to approach these issues forward, because there are cases in other states that are coming down the pike.
So these cases go to the Supreme Court, and we now, this week, have a 6-3 decision from the Supreme Court, the majority unsigned. But clearly, we know who it includes because the three dissenters
are Neil Gorsuch, Clarence Thomas, and Samuel Alito, which
yes.
meant Roberts did side with us in this case.
Because he accepts as settled law the legality of same-sex marriage. So he,
even though he hated the Obergefell decision.
Hated it, but as it has been decided, he has decided that since that is standing, then couples must be treated equally. And that's what the court decided. They just peremptorily said to Arkansas, we're not even going to hear this at any length. We're just looking at this and saying you are not treating same-sex married couples equally. That's what we told you in Obergefell you have to do. So you must list these both women in these couples on the birth certificate.
And the Obergefell decision is only 2 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
So Gorsuch... You know, there was an analysis that put Gorsuch to the right of Scalia.
Yes. He's a hard ass.
Theoretically. And this has proved that was correct. Neil Gorsuch not only dissented from this opinion, he wrote a dissent. He is the author of the dissent that completely ignores the facts of the case and says that it is okay for a state to have a biologically based birth certificate system. But that's not what Arkansas has. They allow husbands who are not the biological father to be listed as the father. They allow adoptive parents who are not the biological parents to be listed as the parents.
I would like to speak to the gay friends, the gay and lesbian friends of Neil Gorsuch who are out there pimping for him and saying what a wonderful guy he is and he respects my relationship and, oh, they're wonderful people and they don't have a homophobic bone in their body. This is bigotry that he's engaging in here.
Well, I can't decide whether he is stupid or a liar.
Because, I think he's just a nasty piece of work.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with you about that. But for him to talk about a biologically based birth certificate system when the state specifically does not have and is not defending a biologically based birth certificate system means he either does not understand the case or he is lying about it, which to me puts him in the same category as Trump.
Yes. Well, I mean, who appointed him?
Yes. But he's slicker than Trump. But it turns out he's doing the exact same thing.
And folks, Now, Roberts sided with us in this case. So if we get one more judge appointed by replacing a liberal by Donald Trump, we're screwed. We could lose a Obergefell. I mean, I don't know if Roberts would want to overturn it so soon. But the judges that Trump is looking to appoint are in favor of reinstating sodomy laws if the states want to, reinstating bans on same-sex marriage if the states want to. And that's a good reason right now. If you live in a state that has a constitutional amendment or a law against same-sex marriage,
get rid of it.
You should get. I mean, they did in Nevada, but I haven't heard it happen in Nevada. But I haven't heard it happen anyplace else. We have to work on these things. Because we're not going to have the protection of the court anymore. Even if we got a Democratic president and we got a Democratic Congress and all the state legislatures, if we have a court that is hostile to us, they'll overturn these laws.
Well, we have to try to prevent that kind of court by taking the Senate next year, which is an almost impossible idea since the 33 senators who are up for re-election, 25 are Democrats and 8 are Republicans. We would have to win all the Democratic seats and pick up a couple of Republicans.
When people got upset enough at Clinton after 2 years, they elected 54 more Republican members of Congress. That was the Gingrich sweep.
We're talking about the Senate.
Well, I'm just saying
it's only about the Senate with the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. It could be a wave election.
It could. But it's
everybody's supposed to be so upset that we lost these four congressional races that were up. But those were heavily Republican districts.
Yes,
there
we made progress.
There are enough places where
and
we could
beaten
turn things
back,
around.
And we've beaten back Sam Brownback in Kansas on the tax stuff. But,
yes.
But if we lose, if Kennedy resigns, and he's hanging in at the moment on the Supreme Court, Anthony Kennedy, but he is 80 years old, and, I'd want to resign if I were him. But he may just be horrified enough by his acolyte, Mr. Gorsuch. But Ginsburg, can they really stick it out for 4 years? And can we change the Senate or the presidency in that time?
Plus the fact that Clarence Thomas has been wanting to retire. He's 69 years old. He wants a life, I understand.
Well, whoever retires.
And he could be replaced by a much younger person who could hang in there for a long time.
This president and this Senate are going to confirm more Neil Gorsuches,
right.
And we are gone.
So this whole issue of you think we won same-sex marriage, it's not over. There are still cases in Texas and in Arizona about this that are pending now, and we'll see how much those judges at least respect this new Supreme Court decision.
Now, the good news on the Arkansas decision is we did win.
Yes.
And even though we're talking about doom and gloom with the Gorsuch dissent. We did win the case. And
the glass is half empty.
And what it should do is therefore stand in the way of other states like Texas and others trying to mess around with the rights of same-sex couples and parents as long as Obergefell stands.
Now, there's an old saying that the Supreme Court follows the election returns and public sentiment to some extent. Of course, Scalia never cared about that, and obviously Gorsuch doesn't. But there's a new Pew poll out that says Americans now support same-sex marriage by a margin of 62 to 32, and Republicans are basically now split for the first time on it. And even among evangelicals, 47% of Generation X millennial evangelicals favor same-sex marriage compared to 26% of boomer and older evangelicals.
That's all well and good, but the American people in large numbers support things like protecting the environment, and that is not stopping the Trump administration from getting rid of all regulations and destroying the environment, and the public is not stopping them from doing that.
That's true.
If you have that power, it doesn't matter what the public wants. They're just running roughshod over all of this.
Well, what I hate to say is that the overpowering thing that elected Trump was racism, and it's very hard to argue with people who hold feelings like that.
I think that was one element, but I really think I heard someone say recently that what elected Trump was not facts, it was attitude.
Yes.
And some of it is a racist attitude, but some of it is just about power.
Authoritarianism.
And about wanting to be tough in the world, and we've given up our, Obama was too soft, and Hillary's a the woman. And
we had Giuliani here for eight years.
Yes, exactly.
And Bloomberg was, you know, people worshipped a billionaire being their mayor instead of one of us, the people.
Are we the people?
Yes.
But my point being that that people want authoritarianism. You know, I've always said people want a daddy. They want a benevolent patriarch, but they'll take patriarch over benevolent every day.
Yes.
And I talk in generalizations. Clearly, this is not the entire country. It's not even a majority of the country, but they manipulated it in a way that they took power. And
finishing
so
up on marriage, in Cincinnati, they have named a block for John Arthur and Jim Obergefell on the two-year anniversary of marriage equality, the plaintiffs in that case.
All right, let's turn to another angle on this, which is the religious freedom cases.
Yes.
And so the other thing that happened at the Supreme Court this week was that they agreed to hear a case in the fall term that they had been postponing dealing with for almost a year, I think.
Cake!
And I would suspect that the reason they have now agreed to take this case is because Neil Gorsuch showed up to vote to take the case.
You need four people to take a case, so we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but it's nerve-wracking.
Yes.
All right, so this is Masterpiece...
Cake Shop.
Cake Shop. A guy does not want to make cakes for same-sex weddings.
Correct.
And
I'll make cakes for gay people, but not for weddings.
He has been ruled against repeatedly in Colorado.
By the Human Rights Commission. By the courts.
He's been fined.
By everybody. Because Colorado, and this is a key point, has a state law that forbids discrimination by public accommodations, meaning businesses, on the basis of sexual orientation, and I think gender identity, but at least sexual orientation.
Yes.
So every time this came up to the Human Rights Commission, to the courts in Colorado, they ruled you are violating the non-discrimination provision of the law, and therefore you you cannot get out of making this wedding cake.
For a lot of people, you know, this is a gray area. This case is not a gray area for me. If you bake wedding cakes, you know, you should sell them to whoever wants them.
Sylvia Weinstock, the legendary, famous wedding cake maker in New York City, had a letter to the New York Times today saying, how dare he not make wedding cakes for same-sex couples?
Well, and she's sympathetic to gay people, but you don't need to be sympathetic to gay. You've got a cake, you sell it to whoever comes into the shop. Now, where it gets gray is, well, what if they want a certain kind of a message on a cake? And I would say you can't force a cake maker to write something on the cake that that you don't want to write. And it gets a little grayer with the videographers who say, now this baker says he's an artist, and this is his expression.
What the lawyers are saying, the ACLU is doing this case, the lawyers say, look, you turned them down before they even talked about a design for the wedding cake. You saw them as a same-sex couple, and you said, no, I'm not making anything for a same-sex couple.
And as has been proven with some of these other bakers, because the local press has done investigations, they call up and they say, look, we're divorced, but we're getting remarried. We'd like a cake. And you sell it to them, even though you won't sell it to gay couples, even though that, you know, so you might have religious objections against that. Or I'm from an atheist group. Or all these other things, or a Satanist group, or whatever. Everybody gets cake except us.
I don't think you can.
No. They tested these people.
I understand,
and they asked for these cakes.
I think you can. You cannot require people to be consistent or define their religious feelings.
I think the justices, when they hear this case, have to, as this case is heard, you have to distinguish between, is it just prejudice? Or is it sincere religious belief? And if the person is not applying their religious beliefs in any other aspect of their business, just this one belief.
And I would argue that a business doing business with the public does not get to use any of its religious beliefs.
So
I don't need a hierarchy of their religious beliefs.
Exactly.
They can have a religious belief that only discriminates against gay people, but they still are not allowed to bring that into the business atmosphere. Now, what the Alliance Defending Freedom is arguing is that the federal religious freedom protection exemptions, which have been expanded by the Supreme Court in recent years, the Hobby Lobby right. case being one of them about contraception and businesses not having to pay for it, is that that religious freedom law trumps the state non-discrimination law. And that's what the court is going to have to sort out.
But you would be opening up such a Pandora's box in terms of how people are going to be able to behave in business, because they can say, my religious belief says, you know, I don't deal with single women, I don't deal with black people because of my religion, I don't deal with interracial couples. It's my religion.
Yes.
I mean, you know.
Yes.
So you've got to put a stop to this. There are religious exemptions to human rights laws, and it's things like Catholics don't have to ordain women as priests if it's court of the religion.
People can have religious expression, like a Sikh wearing a turban as a police officer when
with a little sword inside.
Okay.
Yes.
But it does open up all sorts of things if you allow that kind of discrimination in public businesses. And it also is phenomenally hypocritical, because the right wing wants their theocracy of Christian beliefs, but the first thing they'll scream about is
Muslims
and Sharia law.
Yes.
And they want to be able to ban Muslims.
Because it's a Christian country. Isn't it?
No.
No, it isn't.
They want to be able to discriminate against religion in things like the travel ban, but want to be able to assert their religion in the public square when they want to.
Well, they did catch a break in Missouri this week, because the Supreme Court also ruled that when a locality in Missouri would not give a grant to a religious group that wanted to fix up its playground under the Fix Up the Playgrounds grant process, the court ruled 7-2 that they were discriminating on the basis of religion. They made a special point of saying, well, you know, this doesn't mean they can use it for religious purposes.
Well, yeah, except that
now they have other money that they can use to discriminate, you know, to go after gay people or
and
whatever.
And people are not going to settle for that. They did explicitly say in the decision this doesn't apply to religious practice. It only applies to a playground. But I think the dissent by Sotomayor and Ginsburg said, don't kid yourselves, this is religious practice, and you're opening up a Pandora's box here.
A year or two ago, I wrote extensively about the fact that religious groups in New York wanted, we would like the city to pay for all of our security personnel in the religious schools. And 48 out of the 51 council members voted for that, and the mayor was in favor of it. This is liberal New York City, like Missouri. New York has a constitutional amendment that says you cannot give this kind of support to religious schools. However, one of the civil liberties groups, they criticized the law, but they backed down and they didn't sue over it, because they think they're going to lose. Because what the religious institutions do is say, well, everybody needs security. Yeah, everybody needs police protection, but it's not up to us to hire your personnel.
Right.
Well,
all right. Then we go to Mississippi. This is not a Supreme Court deal yet. This is the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which controls Mississippi. Now, Mississippi, at least a year ago, maybe longer, passed a religious freedom law that was incredibly broad and specific. It said you may discriminate against LGBT people if your religion tells you that you can discriminate against same-sex married couples or unmarried women who have children, and they enumerated these things. Here are the ways you can discriminate. And the courts took a look at this and said, whoa.
Well, the court, it was U.S. District Judge Carlton Reeves, who was a terrific judge and wrote a terrific opinion.
And said, this is ridiculous, this is absolutely unconstitutional, and issued an injunction against enforcement of this law. So then we've been waiting for this to go through the courts. So, meanwhile, the right wing goes to the Court of Appeals, the Fifth District, and says, let us free my people. And the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals says, well, the people who are complaining about this law haven't actually been harmed by it yet, since it hasn't gone into effect.
That's not true. One of the groups said, the LGBT groups, we had to put guards in front of our church after the bill passed because there was a truck with a swastika parked across the street. And just this week, the Christian Knights of the KKK distributed flyers.
I think it's ridiculous.
They are under assault.
They lifted the court lifted the injunction on the grounds that the plaintiffs had no standing to challenge the law because they had not been directly harmed yet. So, we wait till someone's dead, and then we decide whether the law is constitutional. So it's very dicey in Mississippi under this law, and we're back in court appealing the lifting of the injunction because this is insane.
We're asking for a hearing en banc before all of the, an 11-member panel or something like that.
Because we're scared to go directly to the Supreme Court right now.
Well,
but
right now? Right now, we don't know
what the religious freedom stuff is going to be. They just took the Colorado bakery case.
Yes. Our friend Art Leonard, Professor Arthur Leonard, was saying he was hoping that it would get to the Supreme Court before Kennedy leaves.
Yes.
So that we could get a...
Well,
Kennedy's been on our side on all these cases. He doesn't want to spoil his... He's batting 1,000 on gay cases since 1996.
Yes, but...
He's not good on a lot of other things.
As we have pointed out... Any decision we get today can be overturned tomorrow.
Yes.
And a few
what
other...
What do you mean? The President of the United States said it's settled.
What does he know? Nothing.
Nothing.
A couple of other little...
By the way, states are now chiming in and saying you can't travel. Our people from our state who will work for the government can't travel to these states.
No non-essential state employee travel from California to Mississippi. A couple of other footnotes. In Arizona, the Court of Appeals says that the law on presumed paternity is correctly written to apply only to men. So this is the case of birth certificates again. That's not good.
And then, of course, the Supreme Court, partially overturned the hold on the travel ban, Muslim travel ban. Not heavily, but to some extent.
A mess, too.
It's a complete mess, and it affects a lot of LGBTQ individuals.
And it's also rank hypocrisy, because the whole point when it was signed as an executive order was, this is an emergency, we have to deal with this right away. Well, now, 6 months later, we're still...
Well, I don't understand that, because they said, we want to do a 90-day review.
Yeah.
Well, we're past the 90 days. Were they reviewing their procedures?
No, because it was all bull in the first place.
They were very busy signing their names and, fighting off James Comey.
And getting money from the Russians. In Florida, there's another case of a trans teenager suing for bathroom rights at school. Drew Adams, 16 years old, a young trans man. Is now being represented by Lambda Legal. He will be in high school in Ponte Vedra, Florida, and is suing for the right to
use the men's. Are we done with all these legal cases?
No, but for the purposes of this show, we are for the moment.
Yes. Now, in the military, Ash Carter was the Secretary of Defense and was lifting the ban on transgender folks serving in the military. And the Defense Secretary. And now the heads of the military units are saying we want more time, and they wanted a lot of time, but they're being given 6 months to figure this out so that it can
maybe
happen.
We don't know that for sure, but it was supposed to
happen on July 1st.
The people there are trans people serving in the military, and they are serving openly, legally, and being taken care of. But the question is about new recruits and the Defense Department issuing guidelines for taking in new trans recruits, and they were supposed to issue the guidelines July 1st. Now it looks like they may be delayed at the request of the Army and one other service.
And our State Department, and this was true under Obama, now it's still true, they're again denying intersex citizen passports even after a federal court has told it to reconsider the policy.
So the Lambda is reopening the case that they took to the district court and won in an attempt to get this one person and a passport indicating a non-binary gender. Now, we've been talking about how states are opening that up. So when someone gets a non-binary gender marker on their driver's license and then they apply for a passport, are they going to be denied by the State Department after Oregon or the District of Columbia has already given them a driver's license?
Other countries are getting with the program, but not the United States.
All right. By the way, Attorney General Jeff Sessions endorsed the employee pride event with Gavin Grimm and says he's having DOJ look into trans murders and may actually try to solve one of those cases.
He's against murder? That's good to hear.
And HHS is restoring LGB seniors to a data survey after having cut out those questions. Not transgender seniors, though. And other government surveys are continuing to exclude LGBT
people. Well, this was one of those cases where we were making progress. We hadn't quite achieved it. And then the Trump people put a stop to it, and now they're partially allowing it.
Just to finish up with the federal government before we get to all the pride stuff, in the U.S. House of Representatives, a bipartisan, unanimous House of Representatives passed a resolution condemning the detention, torture, and murder of gay men in Chechnya.
I told you, they're against murder.
Well, we've got something.
We can get them on something.
In the Senate, Senator Ben Cardin, Democrat of Maryland, and 18 other senators have introduced the Lavender Offense Victim Exoneration Act to expunge the records of more than 1,000 gay people fired by the State Department after January 1st, 1950, by Joe McCarthy, at the behest of Joe McCarthy and Roy Cohn. Report on current issues for Foreign Service members and memorialize the history.
But you were telling me that the New York Police Department doesn't want to apologize for the Stonewall raid.
Well, we'll get to that in our Pride coverage
we're get
right
to that?
Now, yes.
All right. What shall we start? Let's start off with a picture of Ann Northrup towards the front of the march. Can we bring that up?
Well, this was waiting to start the march.
Do you recognize that pose? It's the pose that the gay teacher, the gay teacher who was Teacher of the Year did when he was standing next to Trump and Melania in the Oval Office.
Well, someone handed me this fan that says resist. I see the T part is not quite open.
Well, just like in the survey for...
But I couldn't, someone hands you a fan, you got to imitate the the teacher's pose.
So, Ann, you did play a key role this year because we had a huge pride celebration in New York.
Yeah, we got that picture of New York's big, huge parade. That's part of the parade down Fifth Avenue.
I thought that the resistance groups were supposed to be up front right after the Stonewall veterans.
No.
And the sirens, who were the bike riders. But there's Mayor de Blasio in the front. I am sick of politicians taking over the front of our march. We don't need them for validation. They're there to support us. Let them march in the middle of the march with a lot of other groups and things like that. We're grateful that you want to support us, but you don't belong in the front. Our community groups belong in the front. So these resistance groups were towards the front, but it still took us 3 hours to get down the street.
I think we were an hour behind the front of the parade. Show the picture of the resistance. There we are. So
Where was that crosswalk?
34th Street.
I didn't see it.
Or 36th at the beginning. What was the official beginning of the march? So dozens of community groups gathered together behind this We Resist banner, rainbow banner, to indicate our anger at the Trump administration. You see Ken Kidd, who got the Heritage of Pride folks to allow this group. That was a big fight. Why was it a big fight, Heritage of Pride?
Right.
But he's carrying the Trump placard there. All the placards identify.
Because Los Angeles declared itself a resistance march.
The entire march was a resistance march.
Although the San Francisco thing turned out to be more of a party, or what, what we were reading?
I don't know. So this is a protest within the protest. So these are people we have been telling you about, D.C., Columbus, Ohio, other cities where people were staging protests within the marches to say no justice, no pride, to protest the court decisions exonerating police officers who've killed black men without repercussions, to protest the corporate presence in these marches. So about a dozen of them got arrested in front of the Stonewall Inn. That's what that picture was.
I ain't running the Pride Parade. I used to be on the Christopher Street Liberation Day Committee when I was a kid, and we used to run it from the grassroots, and we certainly didn't have corporate sponsors. And I think they hurt, I think a lot of them hurt the parade or the march. But if I would say, if people want to change this, we need to do organizing within the community, get groups to sign on to a statement of what we would like our march to be and where we would like the politicians to be, what we want the role of corporations police, but and make that a more democratic process.
Well, of course.
So this, I was even unaware that this thing, we were behind you.
Most people were.
And, I think in some parts of the country, they were able to stop the march for a half hour or something.
Well, this stopped the march for 20 or 30 minutes.
Well, really?
Yeah.
But the thing is, there are so many stops and starts in the New York parade. It takes forever. It's arduous. We have to find a better route or a better way to do this so that we aren't just standing around on the hot sun all the time. And it's boring for the people on the sidelines, to have to just stand there and watch a group that stands there for 20 minutes, et cetera.
Well, I don't know, a little action with some arrests. But actually, the thing that struck me about marching with the resistance coalition was the support from the sidelines. It was deafening. I have never heard such loud cheering from the sidelines as I heard on Sunday with people cheering the resistance contingent. So that I appreciated. Now, let's see. Certainly in New York, but
Chelsea Manning was in the...
Yes!
I didn't see her.
Well, the ACLU was one of the grand marshals, and Chelsea Manning was with the ACLU at the head of the parade. So that was nice. Also a trans firefighter in New York. You saw a little of the crosswalk. Crosswalks have been painted all over the world. Buildings lit. City Hall here was lit up. I saw the World Trade Center spire lit up in rainbow colors from my apartment. It was incredibly beautiful. I was very impressed. And subtle. It was just the spire with all the white lights of the building. It was gorgeous. And the Empire State Building, of course, absolutely bathed in rainbow lights. Right. The new Kosciuszko Bridge was lit up.
I remember when the Empire State Building did it for the first time, and we had parties in people's houses.
Exactly.
You could see the building.
Yeah. The New York Times did a whole Pride issue.
Yes.
Which was interesting. But then the day after the parade, their coverage was a few pictures in the main section. No story, no writing up any of the controversies, nothing about
the
arrest, nothing. But they had a big story in the sports section about the National Basketball Association having a float in the parade, and that was actually quite interesting and moving.
The head of the Golden State Warriors, who was a gay man. Yes.
Yeah, we've talked about him.
Yes.
But the commissioner was there and a lot of players.
Mr. Silver.
And really interesting. Now, just to continue on New York for a while, and then we'll get to a couple of other things. One thing that was very popular online was there was a New York City cop who wore a T-shirt that said, "I may be straight, but I don't hate," and talked about all his gay relatives and friends. But meanwhile, the New York City police commissioner who was asked to apologize for the cops raiding the Stonewall 48 years ago, said, "I don't think we need an apology. I think everything that's been done since then is an apology."
Anne?
Yes.
Inspector Pine, who led the raid, spoke a couple of years ago at a big forum.
I was there.
I went up to him, and I didn't go up to him. And publicly, I said, you know, before we just go into all this, are you going to apologize for what you were doing to us in those days? And he goes, all right, I'm sorry, like that, something like that. So some kid comes up to me, kind of bright-eyed. I thought, oh, this kid's going to come up. And he goes, I think you're disgusting for confronting him that way. He's here. Well, how dare you? And I thought, I said, F you is what I said to that kid. We do deserve an apology.
Absolutely.
For all the ill treatment. They're doing it in Canada. They're doing it in Germany.
Well, and Bratton wouldn't apologize either a couple of years ago when he was asked. And to me, that is right in line with the cops not acknowledging any responsibility in the killings of these gay men. The black men. It is, you know, they will never back down on anything.
Britain has wiped out all these sodomy offenses in history. I think parts of Australia as well. Mm-hmm. But we haven't even talked about that in New York or in America.
In Oklahoma City, the public schools joined their pride parade in a school bus. Very nice.
And, you know, Nikki Haley was having along the route. We had a lunch on a spot on the pride route. As we left, we were booed by the patrons saying hateful things as we walked out the door. There's her whole crew down in the village. My young son, husband, and friends were with us. Disrespect and hate will never accomplish anything other than getting elected president.
Yeah, tell
your Our country
boss.
Is better than that. What did this accomplish? Hashtag.
I like the fact that it wasn't that she walked out in the marchers booed her. It was the diners and the restaurant who booed her.
I mean, if you can't stand the heat in New York, I've certainly been attacked, you know, verbally on the street.
By this kid.
By many people over the years. If this is part of the first, we have a First Amendment in this country.
All right.
Anyway.
We have to move along.
We better.
All the Seattle pro teams marched in the, showed up at Pride events. In Chicago, huge controversy over the Dyke March because there were several women carrying rainbow flags that had Stars of David on them.
Yes.
Indicating their Jewish heritage, and they were thrown out of the Dyke March.
I think
that's
wrong.
On the grounds that that was too supportive or indicative of Israel, and that was too upsetting to people who are angry at Israel for treatment of Palestinians.
They said it was a trigger. They said it was a trigger for some people. I mean, if we're going to go about what are the triggers in a pride parade, I mean, some people are offended by nudity or sexual gyrations or whatever. You know, it's all there. There are so many different things in these marches. If it's not something directly offensive, look, I'm totally sympathetic with the Palestinian cause, but a Star of David to me is a Jewish symbol. It is not the Israeli flag, although there was an Israeli consulate float in the New York parade.
Right.
I think it was anti-Semitism. I know there are close friends that I have that have said, no, I totally agree with them. It's so bad that we have to stop it. But there are a lot of things we need to fight about. That's not one of them.
I would like weekly discussion groups of all these issues.
Okay.
And
online all the time.
I want in-person meetings. And I would like a discussion of New York Governor Cuomo's pick for a monument design to commemorate the Pulse massacre and other violent incidents. This seems
a pile
to me.
Of rocks.
These rocks look extremely dangerous to me. A lot of people could be hurt.
Children
on those rocks.
Bumping into them.
Oh my God!
And they have dividers with glass in between to reflect rainbows and things. But you know,
They're prisms that would supposedly create a timeless measure of. Message of inclusion.
It's done by a famous artist, but it was done behind closed doors.
You want a timeless message of inclusion? Write something that talks about the history.
Well, we have an AIDS memorial that doesn't have the names of anybody who died of AIDS.
We're going to get to that. All right. also in Florida, activists there are mad at the governor because he promised after Pulse that he would get a non-discrimination executive order out for state employees and contractors, and he hasn't done that a year later.
And in Minneapolis, after the police shooting of Philando Castile, there were sensitivities about the police being in, so they banned the police in uniform from being in the parade. Then they apologized for that. Then they let them in. They have a lesbian police chief, right?
Yeah. I think they should have kept him out.
If we go down this path, where does it end?
Well, I think it's appropriate to protest that decision.
Yes, we have protested it.
We don't have time for this today.
Well, these are important issues, and I don't want to leave them just hanging.
We're going to have to.
All right.
Illinois, a Catholic bishop, gay married people will not receive communion. This cannot be given funerals, cannot be given last rites.
This is Springfield, Illinois, Bishop Thomas Paprocki. We had a picture of him, I think, maybe.
He also, when marriage was legalized for same-sex couples, he performed an exorcism.
May not serve as a sponsor for the sacrament of baptism or confirmation. Well, where's the uproar from Catholics saying, this is not the way we want to live?
Well, they vote with their feet.
You are not our leader.
In the Williams Institute, new statistics, 547,000 married couples in the United States, 157,000 of them since the Obergefell decision. A couple of bad incidents of violence. A young trans woman, 17 years old, shot dead in Athens, Georgia.
And in Taylorsville, Utah, one lesbian killed her ex-girlfriend and killed herself. This was a horrible, horrible incident.
Previous domestic violence calls, restraining order.
All right, international news. Yeah. Well, by the time you see this, maybe Germany will have same-sex marriage, maybe it won't. It all started when Angela Merkel said we should have a conscience vote, but she wasn't planning on it happening before the election in September, and now the other parties are saying we want it Friday.
Well, the left-wing groups that are part of her coalition said we're not going to support you unless you do a marriage vote, and now the right-wing members of her coalition are upset, so we'll,
and the far-right, which is headed by an out lesbian, says I'm not for same-sex marriage anyway.
In Northern Ireland, they're going to have a big march for marriage equality on Saturday, because that's the one part of the UK that doesn't have it yet.
In Turkey, they were banned from marching for the third year. They marched anyway, and police arrested 44 at the Istanbul.
We have a couple of pictures
Pride
of this.
Parade.
This is the cops arresting Pride marchers in Istanbul. And the next picture will show you running from the tear gas and rubber bullets. They used to have hundreds of thousands of people peacefully at Pride marches in Istanbul, but with the Erdogan administration, it has been banned now for 3 years, and they're practicing violence on people.
It's a sop to the religious right, as we are doing a lot in this country. But in Canada, take a look at Pierre Trudeau with this kid. It's a beautiful picture that our director Rich brought to our attention. That's him at a Pride celebration,
wearing rainbow socks,
with a little girl dressed as Wonder Woman.
And in Iraq, the U.S. consul in Erbil, Kurdistan region, raised a rainbow flag on the consulate there. A member of the Iraqi parliament said this is shameful. If they had done it in my province, I would have burned down the consulate.
Did we know about the International World Pride International Human Rights Conference taking place in Spain?
Yes.
Well, the former prime minister of Spain, Zapatero, spoke there. And it's a big, big deal.
In Masha Gessen, our old friend, the Russian lesbian activist and writer, has a fantastic piece in the current New Yorker about the situation in Chechnya and the murder of gay men there. So take a look at the current issue of the New Yorker for that.
I want to go back to Spain for a second, because in Murcia, M-U-R-C-I-A, Spain, neo-Nazis assaulted people taking part in the Pride parade there.
Well, they held the first Pride parade in Beersheba, Israel. 3,500 people showed up, but two men were arrested, one of them with a knife, threatening to attack the parade. And in El Salvador, Central America, they're putting rainbow crosswalks in the capital, San Salvador.
In Tanzania, they're threatening to arrest and expel LGBTQ advocates. Same-sex relations are punishable up to 30 years there.
Also in Germany, while they're talking about marriage, they are canceling the convictions of thousands of gay men under paragraph 175 after World War II and talking about financial compensation. One of the most horrifying stories of World War II is that as they were liberating those concentration camps, they took the gay men who were in them and put them in prison.
Yes, because they were criminals.
Exactly. In Italy, the first female gondolier in Venice has now come out as a trans man.
Have other women become gondoliers since then?
I have no idea.
All right.
In Taiwan, they're beginning to liberalize partnership laws under the court's order that they get around to marriage or equality.
In the United Kingdom at Exeter, boys were told, it's very hot over there, they're having a heat wave, and they were told, you can't wear shorts, so look at them. They all put on skirts.
Yay.
I think that's bold and great.
They're actually, we did a story like this last year with a similar protest, but look, they're so young and they're so smart. And to transition to AIDS news, in the United Kingdom, new HIV cases down 17% among London gay men in the last year, attributed to better testing, treatment, and PrEP.
Yes. Oh, I remember what Bloomberg said. He got the AIDS rates down, so much, all these things down. But he was pushing poor people out of the city. Was one of the ways he was accomplishing these things.
Well, speaking of poor people, I did go to a Pride Week event at the New York City AIDS Memorial, which our friend Bill Dobbs calls the AIDS Memorial Bus Stop because of the design. PEN America sponsored this event, and it was various people reading various things, and some of it was sort of lugubrious poetry, but a young poet named Sam Sachs read David Vonarovich stuff. It was nice to hear that. Jaime Manrique read his tribute to Reynaldo Arenas, which was quite moving.
Before Night Falls.
There were some readings from Essex Hemphill's writings. And Sarah Schulman took the occasion to read not poetry, but an essay blasting the lack of accurate history of the AIDS epidemic. And you're right, the AIDS Memorial has no explanation of the AIDS epidemic anywhere there. No reference to people who've died.
It has this ridiculous Walt Whitman quote that goes around in a circle 55 times. Impossible to read.
Impossible.
And what's the point?
The New York City Vietnam Veterans Memorial is walls of glass bricks with excerpts from letters by veterans etched into the blocks. It is so moving, as someone who hated the Vietnam War. And if any of that were at the AIDS Memorial, writing speeches by people who
I had an
were
old
affected.
Friend who said it is designed to death, and I feel that way about the Pulse Memorial as well. About hate crimes.
Include the people affected.
Right.
All right.
Well, speaking of who's affected, I mean, we all may die now with what they're doing to health care. The debate goes on, but at least it's been delayed a little bit. But the president did issue a statement for National HIV Testing Day on Tuesday, encouraged us for good reasons to get tested. But he crudely referred to HIV carriers.
Oh, my God.
He also did not take note of the massive
cuts. You're talking about victims, too?
He did not take note of the massive cuts in HIV prevention and care that he believes will make America great again.
And Africa, too, where he's cutting out millions of dollars so that a million people will die.
Well,
that's the estimate.
It's insane. And then, California has always been my hope. It's one of the most progressive state legislatures in the world. And a single-payer bill came up, and the Speaker of the Assembly stopped the bill because
terrible.
He's in the pocket of the pharmaceutical and the health insurance industry.
Awful.
I'm going to name his name, Anthony Rendon.
Are we going to pass a bill in New York for that?
No, because, well, in New York, it's passed in the Assembly, run by the Democrats, and the, you know, the Senate is run by the Republicans, even though they're in the minority. I've explained it many times before. It's outrageous, and the governor bears responsibility for that.
Other AIDS news?
Martin Shkreli's on trial, and let's go to entertainment news.
All right. You saw a play.
I saw Afterglow, and it's not just a new play, but it's a first play by a guy named S. Osher Gelman. And it's not just nude. It's nude, nude, nude. It's about a married gay couple who take somebody who have a trick with somebody else, and then one of the guys gets sort of involved with him. And it's about dealing with an open relationship. So it's got, you know,
those are real issues.
These are real issues. I thought it was 2 hours and 10 minutes. I recommend you just kind of make it about an hour and a half, and you get a good play.
Well, we saw a good play a couple of weeks ago that it was just a one-night-only performance, but now it's going to be done again at Dixon Place.
Yes.
By our friend, there was a little log rolling in our time, Eileen Sammoth, who used to be an opera singer and now is an executive at a seminary and has had quite a wild career.
And it's about dealing with weight.
And coming out to her parents, that's pretty amusing, and family issues and love affairs and everything. And it's called Bandwidth. And we have a little clip from the previous performance.
I wish it had gone better, but at least now I was out to my parents. My singing career, well, that was another story. I hid in the closet. Had a couple of short-term relationships with other closeted lesbian opera singers. And then I branched out and dated some women I met in lesbian bars. But it always felt so risky. There were no out lesbian opera singers at the time, and I was not going to be the first. If you think being a fat Carmen is hard, try being a lesbian one. It soon became clear that there was a choice to be made. Either be a successful but closeted opera singer, or a happily out lesbian. I chose lesbian. Left my singing career, and with it, the pressure to lose weight. Now I was free to focus on finding a girlfriend.
Go to DixonPlace.org if you'd like to learn more about that show. It's in the Lower East Side.
And that next one, again, one-night-only performance is July 11th at Dixon Place as part of their LGBT Hot Festival. Check out the whole Hot Festival at that Dixon Place website.
Did you see that Ryan Murphy wants to bring the boys in the band back to Broadway?
Not only did I see it, I wrote it down.
But talking about trying to get Jim Parsons to play Emery and Neil Patrick Harris to play Michael. It's the 50th anniversary. It's older than Stonewall.
I saw it in a road company in Boston when it was first produced. I thought it was so depressing.
It had its light moments, though. Yes. But, I mean,
it's pretty negative.
Very reflective of Mark Crowley's friends, apparently. And he's still alive. He's still with us, the playwright.
Okay. Well, good for him. But it's a little grim.
Yes, I mean, I do they need to do this on Broadway? You know, I mean,
look, I like Ryan Murphy. I like his productions. I'd like to think he would bring something new to it that would make it worth seeing, but it wouldn't be my first choice of something to revive.
They're always reviving things on Broadway, and they don't do very much new stuff. But there is a new movie by the composers of La La Land. It's called The Greatest Showman with Hugh Jackman as P.T. Barnum, and it's coming out at holiday time. And I watched the trailer, and the whole thing is about acceptance of diversity, because he ran a freak show, you know, basically, and, you know, Tom Thumb and all that stuff, and the bearded lady. So that's the way they're billing it. Michelle Williams and Zac Efron are also in it.
Okay. I'm still enjoying Claws on TNT, and we're going to tell you a little more as we come up towards the end of July about a movie called Memories of a Penitent Heart coming up on PBS at the end of July.
Which on POV.
You'll want to see. And we will see you next
week. Thanks for being with us.
Bye.
Bye-bye.